Psalms chapter 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue. Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water.
Let me pray, and then we'll start into the sermon. Lord, thanks for a slowdown in the summertime so that we can think and reflect and not be hurried by the world. Help us to see and know you more over this next month, and we pray that as we look at nature and different elements of it, we would see new things in you. Amen. All right, so welcome to the Summer Fun Series. We've got the summer. The fun will come next week. That's my warning to you. The series kind of fits into a bigger theme of our quarter, which, if you remember, is to relax and enjoy. So we've kind of had big talks leading up into this quarter, and we'll have big talks again in the future. But for right now, this quarter, we're relaxing and enjoying. So over this post-Christmas series, before life gets busy again, we're slowing down as we usually do. And we're going to try and enjoy the warm summer Sundays together with each other by looking at the elements of creation. We probably normally overlook them in the hustle of the year, but I think they have a lot to teach us about God if we pay attention to them. These sermons will be a fair bit shorter than the normal sermons. They'll only be something like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes max. And that's just to make sure we have time and space to relax and enjoy in different ways that we don't normally do during the year, and especially when we have kids with us in service as well. Okay, so the first pieces of creation we're looking at are actually the best things about Sydney in the holidays, which are the mountains and the seas. So if you're going to be on holiday in Sydney, there's two things that you're going to do. You're either going to go to the beach or you're going to go up to the mountains. My question for you, and you've got like a 1 minute conversation on your table, these next 4 weeks will be a bit chatty, so get ready for that too. My question for you is, when you go to the beach, what do you expect of the sea? And when you go to the mountains, what do you expect of the mountains? So it's a strange question. When you go to the beach, what do you expect of the sea? When you go to the mountains, what do you expect of the mountains? Do you expect it to be cooling? Do you expect it to be choppy? Strange question, but have just a 1 minute chat on your tables and I'll get some of your thoughts. All right. That's about a minute, guys. What are we thinking? What do you expect of the sea when you go to the beach? What do you expect of the mountain when you go to the mountains? Refreshing. So the beach, when you go to it, you expect it to be cooling and refreshing. Definitely less hot than the summer sun when you go to the beach. Yep. Anything else? All right. Yeah. So you don't expect the mountains to flood. So if you're on the top of a mountain, you don't expect to see a big pool of water there. That's actually quite true. Haven't thought about that. Anything else? What do we expect of the sea or the mountains? Waves. Yeah, you expect waves at a sea. Yep. Wind. Yeah, expect wind at the sea, sometimes in the mountains too. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I kind of looked at that passage a bit when I was preparing this sermon. So it's like Andrew is saying there's this passage where waves crash on the sea, nonstop, but the boundary of the sea never changes, which is an interesting perspective on the unchangeable nature of nature, which is what we're going to think about. So thanks for those replies. What I think, you guys have observed some really interesting things, but what I think you have observed are things in the sea and the mountains that don't change. So the sea is always going to be cooler than the sun when you go to the beach. There's always going to be winds there. The waves are always going to be wavy. When you go to the mountains, it's always going to be a bit windy, and it's never going to be flat because you're at the top of a mountain, right? There's these things that we've observed about the sea and about the mountains that are the nature of the seas and the nature of the mountains. So I want you guys to keep that unchangeable nature of things in your mind just for a couple minutes. But before we get to those seas and the mountains in the psalm, the psalmist sets us in a particular setting, right? He takes us all the way back to a time when Israel was rescued out of Egypt. And he gives us this picture of Israel returning home. That's the big setting for this psalm. So in verse one, they're foreigners in a land surrounded by a language they don't understand. And it's a strange picture for us, but it's meant to be a picture that's unpleasant, maybe even frightening. So these days when we travel, it's exciting to see different countries and it's exciting to see other languages. If you've got the travel bug, that's probably a big part of what you like. But traveling in those times wasn't fun at all. You'd only go, I guess, if you had to, because travel was dangerous. Everything was unknown. You had no friends. You had no knowledge of the area. You had nowhere to stay that was safe, and you couldn't speak the language. So that's what the psalmist is drawing out. If you had any choice at all between traveling and stay at home, the place you wanted to be was home. So travel that's not fun is a bit strange for us, but to get our heads into it, if you imagine traveling with no internet, no passport, no money, no way back home, no place to sleep at night, suddenly travel's not so fun. And that was travel back in those times. Home is where you want to be. And then that's the picture that you get in verse 2. When the Exodus happens, the Israelites went from being strangers in a foreign land, surrounded by a language they didn't understand, to being at home with God. The psalm says at the Exodus, they became God's sanctuary or God's dominion, meaning the place that God lives. At the Exodus, Israel became the place that God lives. And there's one little thing to pay attention to in verse 2, but it's pretty important. And that is that it doesn't actually say God in that verse. So in your translations, it will say God, but actually it just says his. And it's pretty obvious that the he is referring to God. And that's why the translations put it in. But I think it leaves out the word God to put your focus on Israel. So that's where I want your focus to be for the next couple of verses. So when Israel comes out of Egypt, it says the sea flees and the mountains leap. I think the idea here is that they were so shocked, they were kind of startled that they jumped in fear. And those are very unnatural motions for the sea and the mountains. When we thought about the seas and the mountains, no one said you thought when you went up the mountains, you expected to see the mountains jump. And you didn't expect when you go to the sea to see the sea stop. Because the things that we observe of the sea and the mountains are always the things that we observe of the sea and the mountains. The seas will always be wavy. The mountains will always be high and dry and rocky. And they never change. You never go to the beach and see the sea not be the sea. And you never go to the mountains and see the mountains not be the mountains. So here, obviously, the psalmist is being metaphorical. But he's saying that there's something so shocking and so unnatural happening at the Exodus that he makes even the sea and the mountains stop acting like the sea and the mountains. So something we've never seen in our lives. The psalmist says this happened when the Exodus happened. And so the psalmist asks why. What happened, O sea, that you got so scared? What happened, O mountains, that startled you so much? What did you witness that was so unnatural that you stopped being the sea and stopped being the mountains? And the question's rhetorical. And the reason that he implies, or the answer that he implies, but didn't say earlier on, is now said in verse 7. It's because God was near. It was just a hymn before, didn't say God's name, but now it's God. So, of course, if God's near, you see, you're going to flee. You mountain, you're going to jump in shock. And actually, of course, you should. You should tremble when God is near. The sturdiness of the sturdiest things crumbles when God's near. But specifically, what did the mountain see and what did the sea see? they saw that this is the God of Jacob, which is another name for Israel. So it's not just that God was near, but that he chose to be with Israel. That's what was shocking, and that's what was unnatural. And to the forces of nature, that was so unnatural. It shouldn't be that Israel, a small and insignificant country, a sinful nation, is called out of Egypt, a much bigger and more powerful nation, because God wants to live with them. This act is so unnatural that the mountains lose their sturdiness and the sea loses its flowingness. Because by all rights, the Exodus should have just never happened. That's really the picture that the psalmist is giving us now. God, who is awesomely beyond Israel, should never actually live with Israel, should never actually call them out and be with them. But he does. And verse 8, when that happened, the sea and the mountains didn't just stop in their tracks. They didn't just jump. They kind of became each other. They melted into each other. The rocks became a spring of water. I said before that this was all metaphorical, that the psalmist is drawing a metaphor for us, and he is. But he's also referring to real events. During the Exodus, this actually all happened. I won't go into the story, but if you know it, you'll know that the sea actually stopped, and you'll know that the mountains actually trembled, and you know that water actually came from a rock when God called Israel out to be with them. But now let's take that one step further to finish off. That was what happened when God was with his Old Testament people. What about when God comes to be with his New Testament people, New Covenant people? Like Israel, the people he chooses in the New Covenant are the weakest, the most rejected, the most sinful. But he says, I'm going to live with them. And that would be an event that's even bigger than the Exodus and even more unnatural. How would the mountains and the seas react when at the end of everything, there's a new Exodus, an even bigger Exodus? What do you think would happen? And Revelation kind of gives us a picture of that. If you remember on our series of Revelation, it describes that on that day, the stars would fall from the sky and the sky itself would roll up like a scroll. And the meaning of all that stuff in Revelation is symbolic to some extent. But it's interesting to think of it from the perspective of this psalm, that although those things have symbolic meaning and Revelation's trying to say something to us symbolically, there's probably something real and literal behind it as well. Maybe the sky and the stars fall and roll up and the mountains will melt and the sea will stop. Maybe because it can't help but happen. Because God living with his people is such an unnatural thing, that when it's witnessed by the creation, all creation, not just mountains and seas, but everything, the natural order folds in on itself. It can't handle what it's seeing because it's so far out there. The awesome God should not be with people like us. The world, as we know it, can't handle a paradox that big. So it must fall apart, just like the seas and the mountains fell apart when they saw the first Exodus. And then it must be made new. It has to accommodate God being with his people. I'm not saying that's definitely how to understand it, but I'm saying it's an interesting perspective given to us by the sea and the mountains. So what do the sea and the mountains teach us about God? They say that he's absolutely awesome in the proper sense of the word awesome. So awesome that the sight of him being with lowly people makes mountains to not be mountains and seas to not be seas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you rescued Israel from Egypt in their Exodus. And we thank you that the mountains and the seas understood how amazing that act was. We ask that you'll help us to understand it as well and help us to look forward to our own Exodus, where the world will watch and be in awe of you rescuing your people again. Amen.